Hi, Brigitta. How are you? Can you hear me?
I hear.
Hi. Good to have you on the call.
This is Birgitta. Yes, I'm on the call.
Yes. Very good. And we have Bruno as well. And Hossa. So let's get started with questions first. Birgitta or Bruno or Hasse, do you have any questions?
Hello. I was on mute. I didn't see anything. So, hello. How are you?
I'm very good. How about you?
Okay. I have a message from Jack. He won't be able to participate. He's got a last-minute call for work.
Okay.
And he was asking, is the session going to be recorded?
Yes. It
Yes.
is.
Okay. So. Good. So
Yes.
you were asking if I had any question. I think I heard that.
Yeah.
Well, not specifically.
Okay. Hasse, do you have any questions?
No.
Not so far. I just got on.
Okay, very good. How about you, Birgitta or Wyman? Hi, Wyman.
Hi.
So we're just going through some questions right now.
Okay.
I don't have any questions because I have not been thinking about coaching in the last weeks, so
Oh, I saw your pictures.
yeah, so that's what I'm thinking about.
Very nice.
I have been planning the next tour for tomorrow today, so. So you will get nice pictures tomorrow as well.
Oh, very good. I like it.
I don't coach much when I walk in the mountains.
Gosh, I wonder why.
I just coached I coached the man following me yesterday, Larry, because he needed some encouragements.
Very good. Okay, so how about you, Wyman?
I'm okay at the moment, thank you.
Okay, great. So I actually have a few questions for you guys. I'd like to start out with that. Because I want, like, I'm always refining my products and making sure that I actually am meeting the needs of my clients. And I'm curious, in terms of getting to master the art of coaching, and the vision that you have with becoming a coach, what is your biggest struggle, or what has been your biggest struggle? So maybe Vyman, we can start with you.
Mastering coaching.
Okay. And in mastering coaching, what is your biggest struggle? Is it, or what has been your biggest struggle? Is it like, and that can be anything like from, so one of my clients said, well, I had really high expectations going through the training, but then you get home and poof, now what? Or is it something in your coaching skills?
I think for me, it was after finishing ACMC, it was trying to really improve on the coaching skills and finding a support network to help because I think that's what's missing is after ACMC, there's unless you do revisits, there's no and network except for like what you're doing, Femke, to support support coaches who really want to refine this, because then it's such a specialist skill that you really need someone, a very good mentor that can lead you to level. So I think that was my biggest struggle, and also during the coaching conversation to kind of like keep all the balls in the air, to be able to support, to listen, and to get the detail as well as getting a global view of the conversation. I think that was for me the biggest struggle, is keeping the balls in the air.
Right. Yeah. And so with let's start with there not being a network and not having support. What was your what was the resulting state for you?
I was just state of confusion and not knowing. I knew I needed to refine my skills, but I didn't know where to go to find that.
Okay. So mostly confusion.
Yes. Not only in during the coaching conversation, but outside of the coaching conversation, who to go to for questions and who to get advice and mentoring and training.
Okay. And
I know there are, you can go to ACNC revisits, but I think that's just a for 8 days. But then there's all the days in between those that you need support.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's been my experience too. I think I revisited like 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
And all those times I was like putting in a lot of it was a lot of days and a lot of money, and it wasn't actually bringing in any money.
Yeah.
So okay, and so what about your keeping all the balls in the air? Like, what is the, when you have that and you're trying to get a global view and also a detailed view and trying to do everything, what state is that? Was that also confusion, or was that a different state?
I think for me it was trying to think, where does my attention need to go now? Just questioning, where does my attention need to go? And which is the priority at the moment?
And what state did that result in?
Probably questioning myself.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, more questioning yourself than asking questions of your client.
Yes. Yeah. Questioning myself as to what is the next question I need to ask? Is it appropriate at this time? And is there another question I should be thinking about?
Yeah. Okay, thank you. That's really valuable. Is there anything else that you would like to share about that?
No, I think that was it. Okay. But I'm much happier now.
Good. Yeah. That's good. Anything during these calls that you would like to see happen, or that would make a difference for you?
Um, perhaps having having a discussion on a particular topic, as well as questions. I know you do the free webinars as well.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps choosing a little topic that we could refine our skills as well.
Okay. That's good feedback. Thank you. Okay, I'm just going to mute. Is Bruno, I see that you had a question, or you put your hand up.
Well, not really a question, but I was just wanting to react to what Wayman said, which a lot of folks said. I'm already, I've been through exactly the same. But what I wanted also to say is during ACMC, I was like overwhelmed. There was so much new things coming in, and it sort of felt, I saw a mail from Michael saying that he's considering doing ACMC of 10 days instead of 8.
Mm-hmm.
But my I was thinking of writing to him because I personally think that by extending through 2 days, yes, of course, we'll get more training and be able to rehearse. But my feeling is that we are not prepared enough to come to ACMC. Probably there should have been things to be done. Sort of, I think there's a big gap between doing after coaching essentials and coaching genius, and when going to ACMC, it's like, there's such a big gap that even though in Mauritius when we did ACMC, Sandra sort of prepared us, but it was so overwhelming. And
mm-hmm.
So that's one thing, this feeling of there's so much and you're trying. I mean, during the benchmarking, it was like sometimes it felt I felt so bad because I was completely, I felt lost. I know you've run a webinar on, or a training on what if you get lost in the coaching conversation, but it's really that. And yeah. I remember not only lost, but I was, in fact, it was my very first benchmarking, and Dirk, after such a 1 or 2 minutes, interrupted me and said, "Where are you going, extra?" And I felt so lost. But at the end, I didn't know. I mean, I was, and I think because that happened, it stayed on my mind for quite some time. And each time that, in fact, I really dreaded each time the benchmark is stopping me because I like, it's really like a blank. I don't know now where to go and what to do. And
mm-hmm.
I know it probably linked with self-confidence, with knowing what you have to do, but it's such a disempowering state. So coming back to ACMC and the level of preparation, my feeling is maybe if I even thought about that this is something that could be even a service to people doing ACMC, preparing them before. But like Wayman said, I think there's we found ourselves, we had practice sessions, but we were all at the same level, so there was no sort of mentor with us to be able to bring. And I needed that. And as soon as I started the revisit with you, Femke, in 1 week's time, I felt that I grew, I don't know, by 100,000% because it made a lot of sense suddenly because I was asking myself so many questions and I went through a lot of the recordings, etc. In 1 week, in 1 weekend, in fact. And
nice, yeah.
Brought it up. So I would say that, yes, like like it's been said, I think there's, and when you mentioned that you yourself have been to so many revisits and still were looking for answers, I can relate so much to that, because I mentioned that last time when we had a practice session with other coaches. You know, for Michael, it seems so simple, because you ask too many questions. Oh, yeah, of course you do that, and that's it. But I think that for us, for me, I've seen that it's, I mean, I can see when he answers that it's right, but still I have no clue how to get there. And this is where I think someone like you, being a mentor, that's really a great help for us coaches. And now I'm going to say it. This is something that probably myself I would like to be doing in the future, to be able to bring that awareness and that understanding and that clarity to other people.
Nice. Yeah. You know, when I read about the 10 days, I thought, like, okay, do we, because it's a long time to be away from your work. And it's a long time to be away from earning money. Mm-hmm. And also, I think I've been thinking a lot about how can we make the system simpler? What information can we cut out that we do not have to overwhelm you with, if we can just stay with the with the structure? So what I'm going to do online is, because right now I already have made it a lot simpler, the system, but I'm going to make it even simpler and really focus on the information that you need to know, and all of where all of the elements fit. And so tomorrow's webinar is going to be on that topic as well, that we'll do tomorrow, on how not to get lost in your coaching sessions. Because that's a, like you said, it's a very disempowered state. And what I notice is that a lot of my clients, they really feel insecure in their coaching. And then because we don't really focus on the business side of it, you already feel insecure about your coaching. How are you going to get clients? Or how are you going to make that transition from being in a paid position in a job to having your own business and getting enough clients and actually enjoying that? So I think we can actually cut out a lot of the information so as to not overwhelm you, and to not have people leave quote unquote traumatized from the ACMC.
But may I also suggest, maybe think of something as a suggestion?
Yeah.
Perhaps what happened is, I think we need, I don't know, if a friend was going to do ACMC now, I would be able to maybe suggest what to prepare beforehand, what to know. Because there are things which you're supposed to know. But at no time did we, at least for me, unless I missed out on this information, but I didn't master a few things. For example, the well-formed outcome, I knew about it, of course, I knew the question.
Yeah.
But I couldn't recite it. I didn't learn it to be able to.
Yeah.
So I always felt when someone was saying question number 14 or something like that, I felt a bit, which one was it? And you see, you feel lost. And these are things where I think we could have been told, okay, this is the basic minimum before you come to CMC. make sure you know about this and that, about the patterns, about whatever else is needed. So it's like you say, it's information that you already need to have in your mind before coming to ACMC. Maybe that could be helpful, at least for me.
Right.
I can feel it, but again, I suppose it also depends on your learning style and your own your different own belief and patterns and etc.
Yeah, but I think having that preparation beforehand really helps. I know that in Norway, they do like a preparation day before the ACMC, and then I gave them access to the to some of my online materials. So a few of the videos, and that made a lot of difference as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Great. Thank you, Bruno.
Special.
Yeah. So, Hasse, you had your hand up.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey. Yes. Well, about the ACMC. My experience and the experience of many of the people that I lived with and talked to there, and also after we left, is that the coaching part, which of course I was there to learn coaching, when we left the ACMC, I didn't feel comfortable coaching, because it was just, as you said, too much information, or it was too much. And if I was going to coach somebody, I wouldn't really have known almost where to start. And if I got stuck, that would take away my confidence even more.
Yeah.
And after I went to the revisit, I wanted to coach when I got home, and I joined some of these groups, and I called the guys that I lived with at the ACMC and say, hey, join in, let's go. And they were, I can't contribute. I don't hardly remember anything. I couldn't coach anybody now. So during the ACMC, my experience is that it's so quick. You coach somebody and you have 15 minutes for feedback, which is just the time for the assistant to go through what she wrote, and also the other student that will give their feedback. And then we don't talk about it anymore. So I tried to get some of the assistants in the evening and ask them, hey, can we get half an hour and just go through the coaching that I did today, because I have some questions.
Mm-hmm.
No chance. We don't have time. And I know they have a lot to do.
Yeah.
So, but I got Sean, sat down with me. We went through it, and I asked the question about that coaching that I did.
Yeah.
And it was such an effect of getting those answers. The next day, my grades just went up a lot. So yeah. I think getting a chance to talk about the coachings that we did in the evening, instead of doing the play or the team work,
right?
Because I think there's a lot of things that takes focus away from coaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so if we learn, we coach one day, and then you guys teach us something new that we're gonna do next day, coach the next day. It would be good to have some time to review it and ask some questions about it to our assistants.
Yeah.
And prepare maybe for the next day, and also get some time in the evening to go through the coaching we did.
Right.
Because I was really not motivated to spend time on doing the group thing.
Yeah.
Or the business plan, because I don't need a business plan if I don't learn to coach.
Yes.
So if I spend 8 days away from my family and the money that it cost, and then I go home and I can't use it because we didn't have time to coach or get sort of more than just 15 minutes feedback because we had to do a group project.
And you, what I'm hearing you say is that people that you were staying with, when you asked them like to join you, they said like, well, we don't know how, like, we can't contribute because I don't know how I would do the coaching.
Yeah, they felt that they couldn't do a coaching now. Especially a week after, or 2 or 3 weeks after, and they hadn't really touched it. So I don't think any of the people that I've lived with in those two ACMCs actually do any coaching now. I'm not 100% sure, but I don't think so.
So that was already 2 to 3 weeks after. Not like a year after, but 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Shit. I'm sorry for the language.
It's cool. Like what I felt. I sat down and wrote a lot of questions that I shared with them and tried to make a system of it in the evenings. But see, the last day of coachings, then I started to get sort of, oh, now I understand. Now I think I know what I'm doing here. So if I had a day more or a couple of more coaching sessions with good feedback and the opportunity to sit down and ask about my coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that would have built my confidence up a lot. After the first ACMC, I didn't do any coaching because I was just confused. And I knew that if I sat down with somebody and tried to coach them and get stuck,
yeah,
and then that would just break my confidence.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Sometimes I wonder if in the ACMC we're a bit too ambitious and we want to give high quality, but because as a result we give too much information. I think a lot of, like what you're saying, a lot of people walk away thinking that they really don't know anything, and they're confused and don't have confidence, so they don't go out and coach.
Yes, that's my impression, and that's how I experienced it as well. And it's very, to me, frustrating. It was very frustrating when I'm there to learn coaching, and I have so many questions about the coaching that we did. But no, we don't have time because now you're gonna work on that business plan, and then it's hard to focus on a business plan because I really want to study or learn about what I'm there for.
Right. Yeah.
Because I'll never get a business if I can't coach.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple of things. There's the business plan, and there's the group project. And presentation and the group play thingy.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the ones that come to mind now that I think that just takes up way too much time that I would have really liked to spend on coaching.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. That's really valuable input, Hasse.
And when also when I came back or started to try to join some of the groups, we don't have that, or many of them don't have the same skill to answer the questions.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what you do, I think, is really important, that we get to coach and get the feedback. And get to ask questions about the coaching that we did, because I can look at other people coaching on videos, but to me, it's like I don't pay attention to a problem or interested in solving it before I've experienced it.
Okay.
Yeah. It's so if I look at somebody else coach, I'm not in it. So I'll listen to what you say and hear about it. But when I coach somebody and I get stuck, yeah, that's when I'm learning a lot.
Right. Yeah.
So I think have more time for feedback, or at least you get half an hour in the evening with the assistant to ask about the coaching and prepare for next day's coaching. I think that would make, at least for me, it made a huge difference.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, that's really valuable. Thanks, Hossa.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah. So, Birgitta.
After my first SMC, I was as overwhelmed as Hasse. That was in 2011. Now I've been at four SMCs, and I think your approach the last time here in Norway, the KISS approach,
keep
it short and simple, was really good. And when you started with the present state and the desired state, and you brought that through the whole course, like the same approach almost. And also what I see now, because we have these chapter meetings in Oslo, we have at least two groups that are meeting quite often, and I see that the people that took ACMC for the first time now in April, I think they are more skilled than I was the first time.
Okay.
And that they are not, I have the impression that, and they also, they are very eager to come to those chapter meetings that we have.
Yeah.
And to learn. And now also we have quite many people in Norway that have been assistants and team leaders. So we have some, so that's also good, because we have benchmarkers. We have more benchmarkers that can do the benchmarking.
Right, yeah.
And also what you introduced last time, you and Lena, that you said in the first benchmarkings you do, just focus on these skills and nothing else.
Yeah.
So it was just a couple of things, and we should not mention other things, you know, because it just makes people overwhelmed.
Yeah. Yeah, so just for Bruno and Wyman and Hasse, when we did the training last time, So this is also something that actually I've made beyond that. I've been thinking about making it even simpler. But if you think about, and this is something that I spoke to my online group last week. But if you think about all of the models, we have seven plus one models in the ACMC. And what is overwhelming is like, okay, this is what I experienced too, is, okay, I know that I need to do the questions of the well-formed outcome, but where do I fit in the axis of change? And then how does the self-actualization model fit in? And what do I focus on? And for me, like, and literally, and that's why I started doing the mentoring, I think it, because I did my ACMC in 2005. After I did my ACMC, I was like, screw this, I'm never doing this again. I was so overwhelmed, and I felt so, I already like had that bar really high for myself in terms of perfectionism. And then, that bar was raised even more. And back then, it wasn't even as developed yet, that we didn't have the facilitation model, nothing like that. So it took me several years to really start to feel comfortable with coaching and actually enjoy it. And so I realized that, but I didn't really have an answer to that yet. And then when I started the online practice groups, one of the things that I realized is, and that's why I started using the template, is that we use the well-formed outcome, but we need to know that information about the present state as well. So what we did now is, for every model that we introduced, we focused on present state and desired state. So where does it fit in? And so I can share you, because I've adapted my, I'll do the whiteboard. And I can explain it better. So this is what I've started to do, to integrate all of the models. And this is actually what I'm developing online, to actually do the benchmarking based on this. I don't completely know yet how I'm going to do it, but getting closer to it. Let me see. So I have present and desired state. I have a trigger. And I have my context. And that context is the same for the desired state. I know the VAK, and you'll have seen this before. But I know that I need to write all of that. I need to have this information for all of every conversation that I have. So this is like my beliefs that hold that in place, that hold present and desired state in place. Well, and then, like, so this, I initially related this to the well-formed outcome. So I have my my what, which is really, the what is really those first six questions, apart from the why question, or the first five questions of the well-formed outcome. The what, the VAK, I want to know the context and the trigger and the state. So that's already the start. Then I have all the steps and stages in between. From those steps, I need to define which of those do we need to work on. What can you do yourself? What can't you do yourself? So then I have those testing questions. I can write all of that down. But then I want to bring in, okay, the difference between the well-formed outcome and the axis of change is energy. So I can ask the well-formed outcome but not induce any states. Then I'm still asking axis of change questions, because the entire axis of change is in the well-formed outcome. But what you do with the axis of change is you ignite the energy. And so that means also that you don't just ask the decision question once, have you made a decision, but maybe you ask several questions in order to make a well-formed decision. So that brings that makes the axis of change or the well-formed outcome come to life. So what have I done in this? So here I've got the steps. I just want to put that in there real quick. And then I'm going to use a different color. So then I have the why not, which is one part of the motivation axis, and the why, so that I have enough awareness to get to choice point, and I can ask my client to make a decision. And for that, behind that decision is awareness. And so I need to do detection. So I need to do detection and analysis. So my client can actually make an informed decision. but essentially this is where everything comes together. And what we did during the last ACMC is that we really focused on building this picture. And what I realized is that if you have this picture, and Hasse, that's, I think, makes a big difference. If you have all of this information and you don't have a system, where are you going to put the information? And this is one of the things that I saw in my clients, is that a lot of the time they don't know, they get all of this input of information of their clients, and they don't know where to put the information. But if you start to be able to distinguish, are they talking about the context here? Are they talking about the VAK? Are they talking about the present state or desired state? Is it a belief that they're talking about now? And also, are they still talking about the same desired state, or are they talking about a different one? Making those kinds of distinctions, you also then can start to listen for when your client says, I was listening to a coaching session the other day, and the client said, but if I don't make this change, then I'm going to have to get a job, and I really, really don't want that. So then I have the why not. I already start building that. And so now when I listen to a coaching session to someone coaching, I use this and I start building building the story, so that then I can, at the end, I can say, okay, so you had the context and you had the VAK, but you did not have the trigger. So that's for the next time. Figure out in the context, when specifically does this state occur? And you also, you had like maybe one of the beliefs, but you could have asked more meta questions to get higher up. Mm-hmm. So I can very clearly show where information is missing. And so that allows you to see the story far quicker rather than seeing 100 plus different skills on a sheet. That makes it feel really overwhelming. So I'm actually for online and possibly also later in these calls, I might start using a different way of giving feedback, and making that a lot simpler. And then we'll see how it works. But we did that at the ACMC last time, the KISS approach, keep it simple, stupid. And that made a big difference, I think.
Yeah, it did.
And this is something that we do in the mentoring group, is that we started looking at, okay, what skills do you really need to focus on when it comes to the benchmarking? So if we look for supporting, the main thing that I listen for is acknowledgments and whether you're using the semantic space of your client, if you mention emotions, and obviously the matching. I don't really focus on any of the other things. Those are really nice to do, but if you don't do your acknowledgments, you're not building the story of your client, this story of present and desired state, so that then you are unable to get your client to awareness of how they're doing their problem, which stops you from doing detection and analysis, and then your client can't make a decision on what to work on. So acknowledgements, which really is, I'm feeding back your words, but I'm feeding it back in such a way that I'm building you the story of how you're creating your problem and what you want instead. And that to me is what acknowledgements are really about. So that's what I listen for, and that's what we said to the team leaders is focus on setting on your client setting or your coach setting frames on acknowledgments and on matching. That's it. Just focus on that and give feedback on that. And it actually helped the team leaders a lot as well. So, Weimann, you have your hand up.
Yes, I mean, the structure of where to put the information for me was a real change point from that made my coaching skills even better. Like that was a real wow moment to have that structure to help me, because there's so much information that was overwhelming me, and to have somewhere to put it really made a difference for me.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, thanks. Okay, so out of this, any questions? Yeah, Brigitte?
Yeah, because the one problem that I see that is to make a person that is global to really be able to explain those details.
Yes,
and for me it's difficult to get them down to be specific. It becomes often too vague, and I don't know what to grab hold of.
Right, and I think that can be really challenging, yeah. And especially with people who don't have a NLP background. So like I'm coaching actually right now here in Reno, a lactation nurse or a lactation consultant. I met her in the hospital and she helped me with breastfeeding Finnegan. And we were talking the other day, and so I get a lot of story because she doesn't know what coaching is about. She's living inside of her beliefs, which is what most people have. She doesn't. So a lot of coaches, they will state a belief and they'll be like, oh, yeah, I know that's a belief, or I know. So they do a lot of meta commenting, which is what clients who don't have that background are not going to do. So what I really pay attention to, Brigitte, is how is she using her body to point out to indicate whether she's seeing something or hearing something. So she kept like talking about judging, and she would make this gesture, like she would put her hand out, and like every time she would say judging, she would stretch her arm out in front of her and then point her hands towards her, make like a pointing movement. So then I know there she's seeing something there. And I asked her, so who do you see? So you're talking about judging. What specifically is judging for you? Like who are standing here? And she was like, well, my mom. And then I can ask her, like, so is she bigger than you? Is she smaller? Any other people that are standing there? Like, yeah, my coworkers, and like she had a few people standing there. And so I really always listen for openings. Is someone making a specific gesture that indicates what they see, hear, feel? And I think those details are important. And one of the things that I noticed, and I wrote about that in the latest insights, coaching insights, is that we often ask that question: What do you hear, see, hear, feel when you're in this state? And a lot of the time, that is like it's almost like a token question, because people don't really wait for the answer, or when they don't get a real answer, they don't really stick with it. And I think it's because we don't know what we're listening for or looking for. And so in any state, in our semantic space, we are putting pictures, we're seeing people, we're hearing their words, we're saying things to ourselves. And as your client is talking, they're going to map that out for you. And so really paying attention to how they're using their gestures makes a difference. Does that help, Birgitta?
Yeah, yes, to be more, yes, observe semantic gestures and ask about it.
Yes.
And also perhaps ask about if they show some so comments to emotions and things like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because I know that I don't define myself as a visual, so perhaps I should look more at their faces.
Yeah, and it really...
To see what I see.
Yeah, absolutely. And that really helps.
Yeah.
And obviously when you are talking to someone online and you don't see them, you are unable, that's not possible. So then it is, but then it really still is, then it becomes more, I think, inferential. Like, so someone is talking about judging, like, then who is doing the judging? Are you judging yourself, or what is it that you see? That you call judging, and that's where the clarity questions really come in. And it's not like, what specifically do you mean with judging? But if you break that down, what are the elements? Someone needs to do the judging. So who is judging you? And then if someone doesn't know, like, are you judging yourself, or is it your mom or your dad or like a teacher from way back when? And helping them build that map. And what helps too is I go into their picture. Yeah. Hasse?
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I have a question about getting some credit for the coaching we do. The two times I've been coached and really, really have had an experience with it, I remember it, you know.
Yeah.
It was very different. Something happened and I give them credit for it. I've coached some people, and they've had, you know, big changes. And when I talk to them a month or two later, and you know, how are things? Oh, great! And you know, this one guy really changed his whole relationship with his wife. And it took two or three, you know, long conversations or coachings, and then I asked him, so what made the difference? And he said, well, when he found his wife's phone and she had some contact with an ex-boyfriend or something, and that started the whole mess for him. And he said, well, I'm so glad that happened, because then I figured it out, or I got to change it. And I was, okay, so you got to change it because you found that phone. It's like he didn't remember all the conversations we had and what actually changed it. Yeah. And I've had that with three or four people, that they kind of related to something they did. And I expected that they would get the same wow experience that I got. And because I would refer people, well, now Michael was one of the guys that actually coached me, so he doesn't need any referrals. you know, if it was somebody in Norway that really made the change for me, then I would refer other people to that person. So I'm a bit disappointed that I don't get credit for it.
yeah. And that's what happens. People get amnesia for how it was before. This, Hasse, is why we really set an outcome. And I don't know if you already do this, but I create a document with people. And I really write down in detail, this is where you're at right now, this is where you want to be, and this is what we're going to be working on. And every session I asked them, so what changed for you? And were you able to, so last time we spoke about this and you were going to do this, have you been able to do that? So doing that, doing the testing, if you will, and the review. And then at the end, well, first of all, every coaching session at the end, I ask, was this valuable for you? Mm-hmm. What specifically was valuable for you? What are you going to take away from this conversation? So I'm going to put their attention to that. And then at the end, I will feed back to them. This is where you started. Do you remember that? Mm-hmm. This is where you started. And now we have worked on this, on this, on this, and on this. And this is where you're at right now. Mm. Was this valuable for you?
Mm. Yeah, so that you have to sort of remind them all the time that it was the coaching that had an effect and not they didn't figure it out on them by themselves.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and it, a lot of the time they do have that sense of like, oh, it was never even a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I remember that Sahasa with my niece, and she was only 4 years old. And I had a conversation with her. She got in the car with me, and she was so angry. I was like, how was your day? Not good. And so I asked her, okay, so what's going on? And she had this like friend, I think his name was Tom. And she said, Tom will never wants to play at my place ever again. And I'm like, oh boy, here come the cognitive distortions. And so I asked her, so tell me a little bit more. And she said that Hannah, her friend, would always arrive in school earlier than her. And then Hannah would ask Tom to come play with her. And so then I asked her, so have you asked Tom if he wants to play with you? She said, no. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if you haven't asked, then how are you going to know? Well, he might say no. I said, yes, he might say no, and that would be very painful. But we can deal with that once that happens. And so like a couple months later, I come back to the house and to their house, and my sister-in-law is talking about this girl, this boy, Tom, who has come over, and like, I don't know what she was sharing about that, but I told, like, my niece was sitting right next to me, and I said to her, hey, so he came over. I said, what happened? Oh, you know, I just asked. Mm. I guess if that was her idea.
Mm. Yeah, it's
just very human.
But do you know why? Because I remember, you know, very well when I got coached and I got, you know, realized something or something changed or like a word that I connected to something and then suddenly realized that, oh, it's not about that at all.
Yeah.
So what makes, because it, even, you know, a good friend of mine who is having a project with trying to get young people to stay in school,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, figuring out why they drop out. And so he's working with coaches and having lots of one-to-one conversations with these students. And I coached him because he said, I need to talk to you. I really need to quit my job. I have to quit today. And then I coached him for half an hour. And then he was like, oh, there's no way I can quit my job. You know, and changed it completely around. And it's like he doesn't even remember it.
Mm-hmm.
Or that, because I've told him that it's going to be difficult for him to find like a general way of keeping students in school, because there's always individual reasons for why they don't complete it.
Right.
And I pointed out, remember when you wanted to quit your job, your reasons for doing that. is very personal. And so, he remembered that, but it wasn't like he wouldn't have given me credit for not have made his job.
Right. I don't really know why. All I know is that I've had that in the past as well. And I for me, it's not like a sense of like, I want the recognition. Obviously that's nice, but it's also just a business oriented thing, is that I want people to know what my input was. And so that's why I show them. So this is what you wanted in the beginning. Mm-hmm. This is all the steps that we've taken. Was this coaching valuable for you? So that you remind them, and then you can ask for a referral. So if this was valuable for you, do you think it would be valuable for some other people? And if the answer is yes, then would you like to refer me?
When you do remind them, like you do, let's say at the end of coaching, what you do, six times or something?
I set the outcome, and that actually I take like about 2 hours to do, and then refine it over email, and then we do six sessions.
So when you do that, go through it again, where they were and where they are, mm-hmm. they then see what a big difference that coaching has made for them.
Yeah, and I think they see all through the process, because every time I bring back the outcome and the past conversation. So last time, this is what you were struggling with. This is the task that you were going to do. Mm. Have you done that? And how did it work?
Yeah, because I thought that you know, with these people that I've coached getting, you know, results, that they would automatically refer more people to me.
Yeah, nope. Mm. Not everyone is comfortable. Yeah, exactly. No, like, they don't always see it. And then even if they do see it, they don't always know how to refer. Mm. I know actually Michelle Duvall. It's funny because I did a program with her for my business, and right at the first conversation, she said, "So most of my clients come through referrals. Who were you referred by?" And so that already is a preframe. It is a frame by implication that people refer her. And then she also did a preframe of like that most of her clients refer to two or three people. And actually I have referred afterwards. I refer to like two or three people to Michelle. So she pre-frames that. Mm. And then also she does the same thing. She really goes through the, this is the stuff that we're working on.
Mm. Yeah, I would really like the people I coach to kind of connect it to the coaching, or the sort of the power of coaching, because they don't really know what it is. And when I've coached them, then if they still don't connect it to the coaching, then you know that I would really like them to see that and what actually helped them. I mean, maybe I should take it as a good sign that they think it's the way they thought. Maybe I asked good questions.
And it's integrated, and that's the thing. Once they're inside their new matrix, they can't even really remember how it was. Mm. And so you need to help them with that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I will.
It's an interesting dynamic, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you help people and they get something out of it, but they don't connect it to to being helped.
Yeah, yeah.
And forgetting, at least, maybe that's something to put into that business thingy, that might happen a lot. You might coach somebody and they get a really good results and then they don't remember it, or as you say, get sort of an amnesia to what actually made the change.
Yeah, so exactly.
Then it's hard to get sort of referrals because they're happy with the results, that we really need to point out the result.
Yes, yeah, for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then ask for the referral.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Okay, so Bruno, I see that you put your hand up.
Yeah. Yes. In fact, just some comments on what you just discussed. From my experience in sales, I was in life insurance, and so I was in charge of a team of salespeople. Mm-hmm. Asking for referrals, it's really a key skill to be developed, and what you just shared about Michel Duval did is brilliant.
Yeah.
The second comment is that, yes, I think people don't know how to give referrals and give credit. So you need to remind them. What I found myself is that sometimes it's in a conversation, like last time, someone I coached, but it was only two sessions. And last time in a conversation, he just said, and what helped me a lot was this coaching with you, Bruno. And it was, I wasn't even aware that I made such a profound impact, and he made changes. Mm-hmm. It was more or less for free that I helped him, and it stayed like that. And it's happened a few times that people sort of mention it, but a bit en passant, without sort of. So I think we need a process where we help them to be able to give referrals and to systematically give referrals, especially when they've been coached.
Yeah.
But I like what you, the sort of conclusion, it's that they are so much in their new matrix that they even forget where they were at before. And it reminds me also of leadership. It says that you're a good leader when the person says they did it by themselves. Because yeah. And in fact, you were there helping, guiding, etc. But yeah. I think you need to be glad they made it.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And that's great. And I know that great leaders, they're not looking for that recognition, but if you want to build your business in coaching, you need to point that out. Yes. And it's not an ego thing. It just is like, this is what I did. And, you know, no need to be humble about it.
But there's I'm so grateful for the example you gave for Michelle, this pre-framing. Because it's like, I think it's a very subtle way to say, look, this is how I grow my business, by referrals. So if you come to me, you'll refer you. And in fact, that happened to me last time, you know. And it was not even referred by someone who I coach. It's someone who I trained. I mentioned in the training that I'm a coach.
Yeah.
And this person heard me and said, can I be coached by you, because your name was mentioned by some friend who was in your training. And it was, wow, that's very good.
Very nice. Yeah. Yeah, it's quite a special skill, asking for referrals.
Yeah.
And getting referrals, yeah. So are there any other questions? Okay, so if there's no more questions for today, then we will wrap up. We don't have time, unfortunately, to do a coaching session, so we'll do that next time. So tomorrow, and it's going to be a lot of what I shared quickly today, so it'll be a revisit. But tomorrow is going to be the free webinar on how not to get lost in your coaching conversations. So if you haven't registered for that, you can register at MetaCoach Academy and then /free-webinar. And it'll have a recording. It starts at 9 p.m. European time. So I think that's probably 10 p.m. In Mauritius. You can just register, and then I send out a recording link as well, so you can watch that again. And then 2 weeks from now, we'll be back on the call, same time.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Goodbye. Thanks so much.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Have a great evening.
Good night. Yay.
Bye.
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 Bye.